welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, mother of two, and whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I am talking to you about life, relationships, and sex.
Ooh.
Yeah, that guy from the Dish commercial is here with me today, and that makes me want to do the robot. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Anderson, woo!
Hey.
No, seriously, you know I watch a lot of football, right? Like Sundays.
Was it on? Like,
oh,
I watched
God.
The Patriots game, and I didn't see myself once.
Are you kidding?
That's so sad.
You know, I didn't catch a lot of the afternoon games, but that's obviously the market for Dish Network. So I saw you roboting like all weekend.
I robot really well.
You robot really well. I was going to tell a story, but I might tell. I'm going to have to now. So one of my favorite things to do on Sundays, whenever possible, is to watch football, lay in bed naked, have sex. You know, like,
sounds
it's kinda,
great.
It's great. Great Sunday morning.
I'm not into football, but.
Yeah, but
the rest
you know,
of it
there's just something about the whole like thing, you know, that I like, and so we were doing that, and your commercial came on, and I almost went Todd,
which would be insulting.
Broken the mood, and then we would have had to get into that conversation of like, why do you always have to talk about Todd while we're having sex? And I'm just not going to have that same fight again.
No, like, I get it.
It's got to end.
It's a common problem
in modern
relationships.
Bedrooms across the nation.
It's happening everywhere.
Everywhere. So, you know, and I try to tell Mark, you talk about Todd all the time too. But no. It doesn't go over well. So I'm sad because this is our last little episode for a while.
I know.
And
am I supposed to do on Tuesdays?
I don't know.
I don't have a job. What am I going to do?
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You have a pretend job.
I have a pretend job.
So I have some work projects to focus on. And in the immediate future, I actually have some family stuff to deal with. My mom is downsizing, which for us 40-somethings who have, you know, parents that are alive and well and downsizing, I'm sure many of you have been through this and you know that it is a process, especially for the child that lives closest.
Mm-hmm.
So all of you siblings that like have moved across the country, you owe your other siblings a thank you card.
Yeah.
So it's just part of life. I'm surrendering to it. And
I quote George Burns when I say happiness is a close-knit family in another state. And that's
probably true. I'm on my way to a family reunion this coming weekend. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about, you know, parents and downsides. We're talking about relationships from the point of view of, so you ever have that friend who just is dating and they keep signing up for sort of the same guy over and over again and they keep complaining about it and like every time you see them that is a conversation. So when I go to dinner parties, basically the conversation I get is, oh my God, you need to talk to my friend. She's doing this, and then they like tell me about every guy that she's dated because they know, right? Because they heard everything and they can see it and they don't know what to do.
And she's making the same mistakes.
And it's you know, she can't be alone. She dates the same guys. She's miserable with them, but she stays anyway and she doesn't, you know, really take care of her own happiness and then it blows up and then we start over and then we have this conversation.
Is it because she has like a, in the last episode we were talking about types briefly. This is my thing about types.
Because
I feel like they can be very constrictive.
Sure.
And a lot of times this is what, you know, if your type is always doing this to you, then maybe you need
to look inside
and reconsider your type.
Against type.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, okay. So I'm just coming from, and I know that people have guy friends who do this too. They, you know, keep sort of dating the same, you know, chick and they're looking for love and they try to make it work. And, you know, and you can see that they're sort of cycling through the same kind of people over and over again. So this is just, but I'm going to talk about it as though we're talking about a chick and because that's what I get a lot. And just kind of give you some perspective on this so that you can kind of maybe help your friend a little bit. And maybe this will help you if you're the one that's doing all this dating. Because what you have to understand about this person is that it's working for her on a few levels. This misery. Okay?
So she likes it.
It's comfortable and familiar. And and also it's easier.
Right.
Right? Okay. Because it actually takes a certain amount of discipline to find the right person. It takes a certain amount of, like, actually, our last week's guest, Frank, who was talking about, you know, assessing a relationship and, like, taking it for a test drive and not making any, you know, men don't make those decisions so quickly. I don't think women should make those decisions so quickly either.
Right.
Right? So, but that takes a certain amount of discipline and self-respect
mm-hmm.
and discipline around your self-respect. Like, you have yeah. to kind of, and it's work, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. Like, if you're saying your friend just can't be alone, it's a lot easier to be like, well, at least I'm trying and at least I'm dating somebody. At least I have somebody who's texting me. Or
right.
I have plans.
I'm not lonely.
I'm not lonely, or I'm working toward not being lonely. But damn it, why isn't this guy turning into the guy that's going to be my right. long-term relationship?
Right.
Right? And so, so you know, coming from that place of understanding is remember, and you know, I think it's pretty obvious, going through this is better than not going through this to some people, right?
You mean the, like, the bad, the same
yes, the
bad
shitty dates are better than no dates.
I see.
To this kind of person, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, well, what would happen if you just, you know, went out with your girlfriends, or you didn't date somebody for a while, or you just, you held out, you didn't go out with the guy again who told all the racist jokes and try to turn him into something else.
Not a racist.
Right. Like maybe you can eliminate a little sooner because this doesn't work for you and you deserve something that works for you.
Right,
you know?
Right. If I was dating, my first question would always be, are you racist?
That's a great opener for a date. So.
So. I just want to get this out on the table.
How do you define... Anyway, I but you can tell by somebody's sense of humor and you know, I've been on one of those dates.
You're were you?
Oh yeah, no second date here. So
like they were he was making racist jokes.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. What are you gonna do? Thought he was hilarious. He thought he was hilarious. So anyway,
I'm sure he did.
But let's say he's not like an obvious jerk, like treating her poorly, you know. But and he's like kind of like right on paper, but he's not super available, or he's got an ex-girlfriend in the picture, or the sex isn't great. You know, he's just like your normal everyday person with issues, right?
Right.
I think that a great thing to encourage, what I encourage this person to do, what you can encourage your friend to do, is to just give it more time.
Yeah.
Like, remember that we get to know people in layers.
But also, I mean, it sounds like if, like, my friends, I have these friends, and they make this, to be quite frank, you know, I'm 43, and I've been hearing these same problems for 10, 15 years now, so I'm done having those conversations with them because they insist on making the same mistakes. But if you are and you want it to change, I think so much of that comes first before you even take time with a relationship is to look
to
inside
work on yourself
and figure
yes.
out why does this keep happening?
Right. Figure out what you want. And what I mean by take more time is not like invest in it and like give it more time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't assume anything.
Right.
For like a long time. Like go on other dates.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Slow your roll.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on other dates. Don't take your profile down. Don't like you've made a lot of conclusions about this person really fast. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty consistent part of the story, right?
Yeah.
Is like been on two dates, decided that, you know, this is who I'm focusing on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
putting all your eggs
kind of putting
basket.
Your eggs in that
basket
and you know, slow your roll
uh-huh.
because if you do, you're gonna find out a lot more information about the person. You might be able to eliminate them without going through all this heartache, without just
right.
sort of like jumping in the deep end and going through all this torment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that I think that is just. The easiest advice to give is just to say like just maybe just just slow down with everybody and don't close doors. Like, right. I'd rather see somebody date three or four people at a time slowly, mm-hmm. you know, like peeling one layer at a time mm-hmm. over the course of weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Rather than, oh, well, you're here and you chose me too. So, okay. Because like we learned last week with Frank, that guy hasn't made any decisions about you yet, except that he likes how you look.
Right.
He's still in investigation mode.
Right.
And you should be too.
Right.
So
do you think a lot of women make that jump?
Oh, yes.
So fast?
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. They work on paper. Right.
Right. So,
oh,
this
okay.
Must
so
be
he's
the
divorced.
One.
His kids are grown. He's this age. He makes this much money. He's da da da. He drives this kind of car. He lives in this neighborhood. He's blah blah blah. Great. Well, we've been on two dates.
Right.
So I'm going to sleep with him now, and then we're going to keep sleeping together, and then why isn't he calling?
Well, yeah.
Like, why does he doesn't like the fact that he maybe doesn't like your dog? I don't know, but he's still making. He's still in investigation mode.
Right. He's not.
Right. He hasn't filled in all those blanks. He hasn't decided this is what I'm going to make work.
Right.
And I think that that's the women have a visual, not in the same way that we talk about how men are visually stimulated, but they process things like they sort of see the whole movie.
I see.
Right. And so they'll jump all the way to the end. And then fill in the blanks. And when it doesn't match, I always call it spackling. Like they sort of take out the spackle and like just
right.
kind of fill in the cracks and hope it like holds together. Well, men are very visceral, mm-hmm. you know, and they need to experience the relationship. And yeah, in many cases, that includes the sex.
Right.
So it's not fair necessarily to say, like, don't have sex with me if you don't intend to have a relationship with me.
Right.
Because that's part of
the relationship. The
checking out the relationship. I mean, and if that's not comfortable to you, then don't. You know, like,
right.
like you know, that's all, you gotta draw that line and say, I'm only comfortable going so far until we are definitely exploring this
right.
Exclusively and, you know, taking our profiles down or whatever. You can have that boundary,
mm-hmm.
that would certainly test a guy's commitment to getting to know you.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it really would. You know, you'd know
a
lot.
If he really wants to fuck you, it might also send him down the path of bullshitting you.
Yeah.
Because that like puts pressure on him.
It would. That's a lot of work, though. And generally with online dating, there's like a catalog of women that they can do that with.
Right.
They will most likely not want to invest the time.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm going to have to say there's only so much second guessing you can do in that way.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is set your own boundaries. Like all you can do is say, like, these are my rules. This is the way I play this. If you want to be in my airspace, then, you know, nobody should be doing anything they're not comfortable with.
Right.
Right. And so a guy is either going to hang or not hang.
Right.
So, and that's information.
Yeah.
You. Okay.
Yeah,
well, he just wasn't that into you.
He's
okay.
Not that,
fine.
Yeah.
You know, and when a guy is like super into you and he loves your personality and
it's
your energy,
he'll
and your
be
lifestyle,
like, whatever.
He'll be like, whatever. I was fine. I'm a big boy. I don't have to do that. You know, like, whatever.
I'll just go home and jack it.
Yeah.
Fine.
And, you know, eventually when, you know, we both sort of decide, yeah, let's, and then there's still no guarantees.
Nope.
Then you're still, now you're getting to know the layers of that side of the relationship. Nobody owes anybody a relationship.
That's true.
Okay. And so that's, you know, that's this sort of like, because when I say, like, maybe you should just, you know, date a few different people, but that's so much work. I don't have time for that. I don't have any. This is one of the most important things in your life that you want so badly.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just throw your hands up and be like, oh, I don't want to do that. This is just too much work. Well, then, okay.
Then forget it.
Then leave it up to chance and see if you meet somebody shopping at the market. And if you do, fantastic.
Right.
You know?
Spend extra time in the produce section.
You think?
Because that's where great romances start.
Really?
Yeah. Around the vegetables.
Oh.
Usually.
And the melons.
Yeah, when you're checking the melons. This melon seems nice.
Oh. Love advice from Todd. That's going to be the new podcast.
Side.
Loving the produce.
Everything I know.
Oh,
about,
I like it.
Yeah, everything I know about sex, I learned from Animal House. That's why.
Aww.
That's where my advice comes from.
That's why you're so smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is what I would suggest as the advice is just in general, like, if you're, you know, still up for giving advice, because here's the third part of this.
Mm.
Part of what works for them in this too is exactly the conversation that you're having. is the I get to sort of complain mm-hmm. about men and my life, and my friends tell me, but I'm worth it, and they tell me, but I'm a catch, and they tell me all of the things that I need to hear, and we have this thing to connect over, and I'm not saying it's conscious, okay?
Right,
I'm
but they're looking for yes men and not actual constructive help.
And it sort of becomes part of your identity
uh-huh.
to sort of be the person who's just kind of had it mm-hmm. with the opposite mm-hmm. gender, you know, mm-hmm. or that they've, you know, that this story has just become part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, I mean, in my personal opinion, perpetuates itself.
Sure.
Okay. Like energetically speaking, like that's just, if that's, you know, that's what you're putting out, that's what you're getting.
Right.
And so, you know, what I would suggest is that you say, okay, so we've had this conversation about a lot of people. And I don't right. know these people, but the common denominator here uh-huh. is you. And so let's think about like, what do you want to be saying to me right now?
Right.
And maybe you don't have to say the common denominator is you, but I mean, I can say that to some people.
Actually, I think that's a really good point. Well, I mean, it may not be what this person wants to hear, but that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. Find
a nice way to say that. Okay.
Right. Is that not a nice way?
I think it is, but then I'm thinking somebody might be going, well, that's mean, but it's true.
I don't know how else you, I mean.
How else do you say that?
Yeah, how else do you say that? I mean, maybe not use common denominator, but if the same thing is happening to you over and over again,
right.
it's you
yeah.
that it's happening to. So maybe you're happening to it as much as it's happening to you.
Right. And so you start to address your experience in your friendship and in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it to that and you go, okay, I love you. I want you to be happy. What would you like this conversation to be?
Right.
What do you want to be telling me about somebody you're dating?
Right.
And that really shifts the focus, right?
Right.
Oh, well, I guess I'd want to be telling you that he's a really nice guy, that he's this, that is this, and then he calls me and then he takes, you know, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Like all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, okay. So what you're doing now is you're helping them visualize the relationship they want by also kind of visualizing the kind of time you want to have together as friends.
Right.
You know, like you're sort of like, let's redefine this whole thing. And then you kind of stop enabling this process. Right.
I mean, at the very worst, they just won't bring it up with you ever again because you were reasonable and made sense. You know what I mean? Because I have friends who have these perpetual habits.
Yes.
And I've had these conversations with them over and over, and they don't change, and they still want to have the same conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't like, at a certain point, I love you, man.
Right.
But we don't need to have this conversation anymore. We've had it before.
Right.
I had one friend who's like constantly, I mean, he's constantly dating three women at once uh-huh. and complaining about not finding true love and all that stuff. And the only thing that changed about like having that same conversation over and over again was eventually he said, well, maybe I'm polyamorous. And I was like, do you know what polyamorous means? And he's like, yeah, you have sex with a bunch of different people that you have relationships with.
I guess,
like,
well, that's one definition.
I was
I
like,
suppose.
Well, no, but... no. You, did they all know about each other? One, that's
right.
part of polyamory. And two, do they know that you consider yourself that? And, you know,
right.
it was, yeah. he was like.
They would be about being upfront. Right.
Right.
So.
He was just trying to redefine his habitual behavior as something that it wasn't.
Well, have you had the conversation? Have you had a different conversation with him about, well, what is it that you are looking for? Like, you're not talking about the complaints, but you're talking more about like, how do you want this to look?
Yeah, I have
okay.
multiple times.
Yeah,
that's what I'm telling you. I mean, some people, you're not going to get through. Some people
right.
remain that way, and it's just how they
right.
are.
And but it's certainly a way for you to find out whether that's the case,
well,
and whether or not you even want to be having this conversation.
That's
anymore.
What I'm saying.
Because, like you said, because that gets tiresome.
Yeah,
you know, and you can also go the route of saying like, okay, so. Sometimes, like, again, bring friendships into it. Would you let me treat you this way? Do you want, like, would you be continuing to hang out and go to coffee with a girlfriend who was treating you this way? Or
right.
would you just ditch that friendship? Right?
Right.
So, like, just sort of, like, call them on their shit, basically, you know, and say, you know, point out in the context of your relationship how this is working for them or not working for that. Sometimes that can be a real light bulb. And it seems so logical. Like, why do you take more shit from these people than you do from your friends?
Right. You know? I mean, I think that's a good point. And for some people, it can be a light bulb and wake them up. The thing that you have to realize as a friend, though, is that the other possibility is that they won't want to be your friend anymore because you were honest with them. I mean, sometimes when you're honest, if you're really going to be honest with people, they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Right.
And it's not just this. I
mean, that is a risk that you're taking. Absolutely.
I've had friends who I was like finally just said, look, this is what you're telling me and this is what I'm seeing. And I think A, B, and C is these are the things that you need to work on in yourself. And that was, I didn't hear from them much anymore.
Yeah. But
upside, don't have to have that conversation.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. The upside is you're not spending a valuable Friday night having the same conversation.
This is what I'm saying.
Over and over and over again. So, you know, a very loving way to get out of that, to change that conversation too, is to say, well, you know what, here's what I see for you, here's what I visualize for you and wish for you, you know, and you say, I want you to be with somebody that sees you this way and appreciates this in you, and that you come over and you can totally be yourself and you feel like they're rooting for you, and you know, you're telling me how great the sex is, you know, and then you toast to that future. And you fucking move on to a new conversation.
Right.
And if you can't have a new conversation, then it's kind of about, again, like you said, kind of assessing your friendship.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you getting out of this?
Yeah, maybe this friendship isn't working out. Yeah.
So there you go. There's your little, like, armchair life coaching advice on how you can, like, get your friends to shut up. Oh, I'm going to miss you. Gonna miss this.
Yeah.
So
I'm just gonna
questions?
Sit at home by myself on Tuesdays.
I know.
And just stare
me
at the
too.
Wall.
Actually, I'm gonna be packing
wonder
boxes.
What's become of me?
I'm gonna be throwing away 30-year-old paper.
Yeah, you'll be busy.
I'm gonna be busy. I'm gonna be a busy little bee. Yes, I promise to be, you know, doing useful things though, and hopefully come back with some good stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
So and you'll be acting and roboting.
I'll be roboting.
Yes. I want you to get more gigs where you do the robot. Could you do that for us?
I'll do my best.
You should definitely put that on your resume under special
the
skills.
The robot?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
I'll yes.
Yeah. Do people do that anymore? Do they have like resumes?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
They're digital.
They're online. They're digital. So. And most people don't put special skills on.
No, they don't put like still walking anymore.
That's like a new actor thing. Like
it
special
is,
skills.
Totally. I could do an English accent.
Juggling. Yeah. Yeah. Old actors, they don't do that.
No, they don't
They're
do
like,
that.
Yeah.
My, just under, like, I act.
Yeah. Special skill, acting. That's why I'm here.
There you go. So where do we find you? On the big screen, little screen.
You can watch You're the Worst, Wednesday nights, 10:30, FXX. You can watch football, apparently, while you're having sex.
And catch his commercial.
You see me in a commercial.
And then get in a fight with your lover because you went, Todd!
Todd! What? Oh, Jesus. And then commercials are short.
Yeah.
So you yell Todd, and by the time they turn around to look
at... Now they don't believe you
there's
anymore.
There's no Todd on the TV. They think you're just thinking about me. It's weird.
It's trouble.
Yeah.
It's trouble. Yeah. Well, you know where to find me on a Sunday. You can also find me on
I hope
Facebook.
Just watching my commercial in a loop while you're having sex. That's my dream.
That's horrible. That's a nightmare. Sorry. I love you. You can, you know, find me on Facebook. And, you know, please keep in touch via Facebook and Twitter. My book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. I want to say a heartfelt thank you to my listeners. Do stay in touch. And if you have questions for future blogs or potential podcasts, email them to me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com. Like I said, I promise to go off and create useful things to help you make your life fabulous and, you know, come back with some good offerings. So thank you so much to the good people here at Sideshow Network. And thank you all for listening today. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
And this is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.